Good evening. Oh, thank you. Welcome to the January 8th meeting of the Aiken City Council. At this time, we'll call to order. We'll have our invocation by Mr. Charles Matthews with Second Baptist Church, which will be followed by our invocation, followed by our pledge from our chief. So, Mr. Matthews, if you would, this time.
We just want to thank you for this day that you have made and have allowed us to walk through it with no harm, hurt, or danger coming upon us. We thank you, God, for the achievements that this great city has made throughout the year 2017. And God, as we embrace 2018, as we take upon this journey, we ask that you bless the minds of the city officials. We ask that you allow them to look deep in their spirits as they make challenging decisions. Let them make decisions based on your mercy, your grace, as well as your love. God, we thank you for all the people that are here under the sound of my voice. We ask that you continue to give us a mind as well as a heart to disagree in love, especially on those decisions that we have so challenging for this great city. But also, God, help us to realize that this city is not great because of anything that we may do or say, but it's because of your mercy as well as your grace. We lift up our mayor and ask that you continue to guide him and lead him with wisdom and knowledge. But not only that, God, help us to remind ourselves that it is because of you that we are the people that we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Charles.
Good evening, Chief.
Good evening, sir.
I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
We have a full agenda, and I've been reminded by more than one person that there may be an event on TV that some folks want to get home to tonight. So we will try to operate as quickly but as efficient as we can. I'd like to read the guidelines of our meetings. These are important to keep our meetings orderly. Meetings are public forums in which many opinions are expressed, and the business of the city must be conducted. As such, disciplined, honorable, and professional decorum is paramount. Courteous and respectful communication is expected. During public hearings, all questions and statements from the public shall be directed to the chair. If you wish to speak, raise your hand and I will certainly recognize you. Please approach the podium and state your name and address. In order to allow an opportunity for everyone who wishes to address council, speakers should limit their comments to the subject being discussed. Each speaker will be given 5 minutes to address an issue and may only address an issue once unless questions from council are posed to that speaker. So we appreciate your cooperation in following our guidelines. Before we start, I would like to recognize a guest that we have, and that's Mayor Fred Cavanaugh is with us tonight, and his wife Lee. So, Mayor, we appreciate that guy. With that, I'd like to recognize our Mayor Pro Tem, Ms. Gail Diggs, for additions or deletions to the agenda. Mayor Pro Tem?
Mr. Mayor and members of council, are there any additions or deletions to the agenda? With there being none, I make a motion that we approve the agenda as is.
Thank you very much. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. The minutes were distributed to council members for their review before the meeting. Is there a motion for the acceptance of the minutes?
So it was there that we adopted.
Okay. Councilwoman Price, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Councilman Jarrett. Any corrections to be cited at this time? Okay. Hearing none, all those in the favor of the minutes as presented? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to the portion of our agenda presentations. Number one, I'll recognize Councilwoman Price.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good afternoon, everyone. We have with presentation recognition of our mayor, Mayor Osmond. The Municipal Association of South Carolina has an 18-member board of directors composed of both elected and appointed officials. These board members set policy for the association. At a recent meeting, Mayor Osmond was appointed to the board of directors of the Municipal Association of South Carolina to fill an unexpired term. His position represents an at-large appointment. We have, do you want me to announce that, or you want to do that with our new president?
Oh, sure, absolutely. I mean, we have Wayne.
We have it. Go ahead, Mayor.
Okay, well, thank you. We have Wayne George here. He's the new executive director for the Municipal Association. And Wayne, we appreciate you being with us. He's in his second week of the job, so we and Aiken appreciate you taking time to be here. But also, I think it shows the importance of Aiken to our state and to our organization. So this time, I'd certainly welcome you up, Wayne. I'll just say while he's coming, Wayne is a former mayor of the city of Mullins, has actually served, I believe, two terms in the South Carolina State House. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So we appreciate all you've done for our state and our association, and look forward to great things under your leadership.
Thank you, Mayor. And as Councilmember Price said, we welcome you to our board. As she said, there's 18 board members across the state, and on behalf of Mayor Elise Parton, who is the mayor of Casey, we welcome you to our board. Aiken has, for years, had many strong leaders come out of the city council. I know Lissy was a past president, I think, in maybe the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
We're telling our age here, aren't we? And then Mayor Kavanaugh was a past president. So whether it's city managers, city council members, or mayors, this city has been a strong supporter of the Municipal Association for a long time. And under your leadership, Mayor Osmond, we look forward to you serving on our board. You were elected at our December meeting, actually before I was appointed. So with that, we look forward to having you with us. In closing, I think I'd be remiss not to mention that I did have the opportunity to serve with several of the legislators here, Representative Clyburn and Hickson, Bill Taylor, and of course Don Wells, who served on your council here for many years. And you're well represented in Columbia. We don't always agree, but the legislature starts tomorrow, and I know we'll be calling on you to call on your colleagues that represent Aiken and Aiken County and the surrounding area. We need your help. There's some important legislation that will affect municipalities this year, and we want what's good for Aiken, but also what's good for our great state. Again, welcome to the board, Mayor. We're glad to have you, and I look forward to seeing you at our February meeting.
Absolutely. Thank you,
for what you do.
Wayne, before you made all the effort to come down here, I want to come around and present something to you.
I could.
It wouldn't be a council meeting if we weren't presenting things, right?
Mayor, if I can I add a few more comments? Mayor George represents 271 cities. We just added one with the state of South Carolina. And his board, of which our mayor is serving on, is part of that body that helps to establish policy for a lot of these 271 cities in the state of South Carolina. So, got an awesome job, both of you. So, great job, too.
You have a great city here. I tell you, it's beautiful. I've been through it many occasions, had lunch here, dinner, spent the night here, and I know you're very proud of your city. It's a wonderful city.
Well, first of all, we hope you continue to support our economy. Thank you. And just remember our city pride in this visit and congratulate you on the new position. I know under your leadership it's going to flourish and continue to do well. Yeah. Just a little something about Aiken. This is our fountain. If you go to the corner of Lawrence and Park, you'll see this. But hopefully when you see this, you'll think of us here.
I will. I'll put this in my new office.
Absolutely. I look forward to seeing you there many times.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you for coming in. Moving down to number 2 under presentations, this is a recognition of our Senior Commission for receiving the 2017 Positive Images in Aging Award for South Carolina. And I think Jessica's here, maybe she goes.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. On December 11th, the Southeastern Association of Area Agencies on Aging in Greenville, the City of Aiken Senior Commission was recognized as the winner of the 2017 Positive Images in Aging Award for the entire state. This award recognizes a group, agency, or business who has presented a positive image of older adults. The Senior Commission was recognized for its partnership with several agencies across the Aging Network to host a family caregiver appreciation luncheon earlier this spring. The purpose of the luncheon was to thank the Lower Savannah area caregivers for everything they do on a day-in and day-out basis to help their loved ones age in place. We have Jessica Campbell here with members of the Senior Commission for this presentation, Mr. Mayor.
Good evening, Jessica.
Good evening. I'm delighted to work with our Senior Commission. One of their vision is to be recognized, for Aiken to be recognized as a leader in the state for providing an attractive and accommodating community for all stages of seniors. And here we are awarding, they've been awarded with the Southeastern Association, so not only the state but the entire Southeast, recognized as a winner of the 2017 Positive Images of Aging. I'd like to bring those commissioners that are here today up and give them a round of applause. We have Ms. Linda Lucas, our chair. And Ms. Mary Beth Fields, Ms. Elizabeth Neal, I believe Ms. Karen Petit, and Mr. William Price.
The award we want to present to you. Before I go down, I just want to say thank you. This commission works hard and does a great job for our community. It really represents us well, and what an amazing award. I look forward to this. It's Positive Images in Aging Award presented to the City of Aiken Senior Commission, Aiken, South Carolina, in recognition of your presentation of a positive image of older adults by the Southeastern Association of Area Agencies on Aging, Greenville, South Carolina. So thank you guys so much. We're so proud of this, and it represents a lot of work on your part, and we know that. So I want to come down and present this time if we could.
You had to run.
Those people are.
Moving down to agenda number 3 under presentations, this is a presentation and request regarding human trafficking in Aiken. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, our executive director of the Cumbie Center, Susan Selden, has asked to make a presentation regarding Human Trafficking Awareness Month. She's also requesting permission to place a life-size silhouette display in the downtown area with information on human trafficking. The request is to place the display at the crosswalk area on Park in Lawrence Street during the month of January. For council consideration is a request for permission to place a life-size silhouette silhouette display on Park Ave at Lawrence Street to inform our community of the issues with human trafficking. Good evening.
Hey, Susan, welcome.
Thank you. Just to share a little bit about human trafficking, it's defined as modern-day slavery, and it's the recruitment, harboring, transporting, providing, or obtaining a person for a commercial sex act, in which a sex act is induced by force, fraud, or coercion, or in which the person has not yet attained at the age of 18 years old. And then there's also labor trafficking, which is when the person is subjected to involuntary servitude, debt bondage of slavery, through the use of force, fraud, and coercion. This is a human rights violation, and it robs people of their dignity and their freedom. And as the fastest growing crime in our nation, it threatens our public safety and our national security. To quote Attorney General Alan Wilson, to turn the tide on trafficking, we must be able to define it, recognize it when it's happening, and know who to call when we see it. And the reason I bring this to your attention is we in Aiken are seeing more human trafficking. I know our public safety officers are seeing it. The Cumbie Center victim advocates are seeing this happen. And so we are very concerned about making sure our community is educated about the issues and the impact. It's crucial that we in Aiken know how traffickers are targeting our school-aged children, how they're exploiting the vulnerabilities of different people, such as their cultural, economic, and cultural social disparities, and how they prey on those who lack security and the opportunities that most of us would take for granted. So on behalf of the Cumbie Center, I'd like to request permission to put up the display that our city manager has just mentioned.
Susan, thank you so much, and obviously thank you for what the Cumbie Center does and the needs that they meet in this community. At this time, is there a motion to approve the request from the Cumbie Center?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor? Of course, that's unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Moving down to that portion of our agenda, old business. Number one is discussion of appointees to various city boards, commissions, and committees. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, the council has 15 pending appointments to fill vacancies on different city boards, commissions, and committees. No appointments are presented for council's consideration and vote at the meeting tonight. For your information, we have received letters of resignation from Mr. Pat Pertinetti for the Board of Zoning Appeals and from Keith Wood resigning from the Election Commission as well.
Thank you. At this time, we'll open it up for council members to make new appointments.
Mr. Mayor, for the Election Commission, we just heard that Keith Wood has resigned. We have copies here. Can we? I'd like to recommend that we consider John Lindsay. John is an attorney, then retired consultant for a position of the Election Commission for service.
Very good. Any other names for consideration at this time?
I would like to place for Board of Zoning Appeals Karen Daly and for General Aviation Commission Graham Reynolds.
Okay. Councilman Jared. The names at this time? Looks like those names will be considered at our next meeting. Thank you. Moving down old business number two. This is a request to spend capital project sales tax money for Hitchcock Woods stormwater project. I'd recognize Councilman Ed Wiltz to make the motion.
Want a motion at this point? Mm-hmm. Take a motion to approve it.
All right, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, if I could say something. I think that Woods has given a lot to this city over the years. I think it's an integral part of this city. It's used quite often. And I think this is one of the ways the city can make back. We've gotten out of Woods now.
Very, very good. Very good. Thank you, Councilman Willis. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, as all of us know, in July of 2016, you appointed a Hitchcock Woods Stormwater Task Force that began meeting to attempt to resolve the longstanding problem of stormwater erosion of the Sand River Basin. The task force consisted of then council members Ebner and Homoki, citizens with particular expertise in the area, and members of the Hitchcock Woods Foundation. In December 2016, the City Council unanimously approved a contract with McCormick Taylor to develop an implementation plan to mitigate damage in the Sand River Basin. We currently have over $5.2 million available to implement a first phase of the project. By beginning mitigation, this will enable the city, through our consultant and the foundation, to apply for additional grants to continue efforts to address the stormwater erosion in the Sand River Basin. This will include money from stormwater retention on Hitchcock Woods property, which is unanimously supported by the Hitchcock Woods Foundation, as stated in the letter attached to the agenda item. So for approval is a request to spend capital sales tax money for the first phase of the Hitchcock Woods Stormwater Project. And I know, Mr. Mayor, that some members of your task force are present, as are members representing the Hitchcock Woods Foundation and our consultants who are there that could answer any technical questions that you may have.
Very good. Very good. All right, this time we're going to open up the floor for comments. I realize that comments and opinions will vary on this, but this is an opportunity for Aiken to show that we can disagree without being disagreeable. So even though our opinions may vary, we're going to show good decorum during this time. So I open up the floor for comments at this time on this issue. Pat, would you like to, I know you're the chair of the foundation, if you'd like to say a word.
I'd be happy to.
Appreciate you being here and the supporters that you have here. Pat is right here.
I just wanted to say that I think the issue, the topic of the stormwater discharge into the Hitchcock Woods from the city streets has been a topic for a very long time, as many of you on this council are painfully aware of, and I think many of our supporters are also extremely aware of. And I think the genesis of that came, started, you know, way back in the 1950s, when it was just an easy discussion at that particular time, because the city of Aiken was had a lot of trees. It was not very developed. It had not a lot of roofs and not a lot of hardscape roads. And as time grew and as the discussion grew more complicated, as expansion in the city took place and as more stormwater was discharged into the woods and as more damage happened to the woods, and it became quite complicated over the last 30 years. And during that time, I think we've had, I don't know, Stuart and Jason, we've had, what, about 20 studies? 20-some-odd studies for the over those years. And those studies have given us some background, but they haven't yielded an awful lot of solutions. And I believe the genesis of our particular issue today sort of started back in January in 2016 when the foundation went to see Mr. Clem. And we said, you know, the damage has reached a level in the woods that is unsustainable. And we really have got to find a way to start to mitigate the damage. But we want to assure the city, that the foundation wants to assure the city, that we want to do this in a reasonable, realistic way to ensure that there is a solution, a workable solution, a fixable solution that is going to be easy for as easy as possible and cost effective for the city to be able to implement, but at least it gets done. And because of that, the mayor, as Mr. Clem, as our city manager said, started the task force back in July of 2016. And we met several times, and it was a very, very good task force. But out of that task force, it was a unanimous vote to hire a stormwater consultant because these studies were getting very complicated and it was really hard for us to understand. We needed expertise. And we unanimously hired McCormick Taylor. And frankly, they hit it out of the park. It is the first time that a stormwater consultant has come up with an actual solution, a solution, if you will, that fixes the problem and presented a common sense approach to truly achieving a workable solution, and that benefits not only mitigates the damage to the Kitchcock Woods, but benefits the city and the taxpayers. And in the way that it benefits the city and the taxpayers is the plan is in four phases. The city council is able to vote on each phase. They're able to evaluate each phase. They are able to change, monitor, whatever they need to do. As our consultant said, the plan really, it's a living document, but it's a roadmap of where we're going. But the first two phases, as they have put the plan together, is completely paid for. It doesn't go to, not one penny comes out of the taxpayer base because it's from money that was referendum money back in 2006 and 2010. And that was to be earmarked for the specific reason to address the drainage of the stormwater going into the Hitchcock Woods. These two phases will take care of approximately 42% of the volume, which is causing the problem, so that not a penny is going to be wasted, as so much money has been wasted in the past because of studies that happened over and over and over again. That also probably will take about 3 or 4 or 5 years to complete those first two phases, and it's a four-phase plan. But that's going to give, where it benefits the city, is that is going to give the city time to consider and find alternate funding, which they're going to be entitled to, which they're not entitled to now, because they've taken a first step to have a stormwater management plan brought up to date and in compliance. And it also, because this Hitchcock Woods has agreed to be a partner in this. We have agreed to house 50%, approximately 50% of the volume that is going to happen in the last two phases. And we also have offered to help with alternate funding and finding funding that the city would not otherwise be entitled to. And the reason that we are able to do that, because the Hitchcock Woods is not just private property, it is a state and national heritage site, and it is potentially a world heritage site if we keep our fingers crossed going forward, which is going to be a huge benefit to the city of Aiken. It also has a conservation easement because of its archaeological treasures and its scientific and natural treasures. We have a conservation easement, a very strict one, that is held by the Department of Natural Resources on the property. And that opens up a wealth of alternate funding to the city and to the taxpayers that the city has not been entitled to before. And so on that note, I would like to thank very much the city administration for taking the leadership in getting this issue to this point. I would like to thank the council very much for agreeing to hear it once again. It's like that bad penny. It just keeps turning up. And the effort that they've gotten into to really understand, I'd like to thank them for hiring this consultant in the first place, who has just done a bang-up job, not only for mitigating and attacking the problem at hand, but for the benefit that it's going to be giving the city and the Hitchcock Foundation. And I'd also would like to thank all our supporters that are here tonight. It means a lot to us. It really does.
Thank you. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the audience at this time? Mr. Feller,
Ron Feller, 3 Burkdale Court, West Aiken. I am a fan of Hitchcock Woods. I've been here over 40 years, and I've used it as both a pedestrian and an equestrian. My concern is process, the process we're using to accomplish the goals. And my concerns arise out of the report that was just issued. In that report, it states the goal is back to pre-development. That's the stated goal for this work. Secondly, I think you should know, and your consultant here I'm sure would like to argue this point, but hydrology and soil mechanics are inexact science. They're not exact sciences. So basically what you need to understand is the predictions in your report might happen, and they may not, because of a lot of variables that are involved in these two sciences. There are just a lot of variables that go on, and so making predictions in them is hard to do. Now, the first goal of the report was to handle the two-year flood, and as I understand the report, the estimate on that is $25 million. Whether that's a good estimate or not, I don't know. The second goal of the report is a 10-year flood, and the report states that double that storage will be required for it. No estimate, no design do I see for that. So don't know where that's going. There's discussion of recovery of the eroded area in the woods, but no design or no estimate for that. So this is all involved in this total picture that we're talking about here. You're just beginning down that. Well, you've been on it for quite a while, but and so back to redevelopment, pre-development, it's not defined. I don't know what that means, and I think that's something. In other words, what's the goal of this total effort is one thing I would like to see the process define as you go into this thing. That doesn't mean you shouldn't start where you're starting, but know where you're going in this with this whole process. There's a multitude of responsible people, and I only see the city at the table with funds in hand. My recommendation is that you get everybody to the table that's involved with this with funds in hand, define what the end result is, and then proceed on that basis. Because right now you have a start, but I don't know if you have a process to get you to the end. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Feller. Any other comments from the audience? Yes, ma'am. Good evening.
Hello. I don't need this microphone, but I'll speak into it anyway. My name is Laura Bagwell. I don't live in the city of Aiken, but I ride a horse in Hitchcock Woods, and I walk in Hitchcock Woods, and I am an about-to-be geologist. I'm about to be a retired geologist from the Savannah Riverside. I have had a chance to look at the best management practices and the range of solutions that McCormick Taylor has prepared for us. I respect Mr. Feller's observations, to which I would say the city of Aiken is uniquely poised, as far as I can tell, for the last 25 years that I've lived here. We have never been at a nexus where we are right now with funding that has already been set aside, with an awareness of the extent of the problem, look at the people in this room, and with a very old and established firm that has brought to us a series of very workable solutions. We cannot and we must not let the perfect be the enemy of the very good. This is a very good point in time and a very good set of solutions that has been presented to us. Is it perfect? Probably not. But it was referenced that the models and the estimates are an inexact science. So too is a continued neglect and just blindly dumping water into Hitchcock Woods. That is very inexact, and it's also inexcusable. And we must not do nothing. Where I come from, where I work, we always evaluate the do nothing alternative. And I think we all know what will happen if we do nothing. We're going to continue to kick the can down the road, and we'll be here 2 years from now, 5 years from now. And the price then, if it's McCormick Taylor or if it's anybody else, will certainly be much higher, because the damage will be much, much greater by that time. So we must not do nothing. We cannot say it's not perfect yet, so we're not going to do anything. We must not let the perfect be the enemy of a very, very good solution. Thank you. Thank you for hearing me, and thanks to all these folks who share our collective concerns.
Thank you. Does anyone have anything to add that hasn't been said already at this point? Okay. Comments from council? Yeah, I know you made some comments earlier.
Yeah, I would just like to add, I've had extensive conversation with Corey over the last week, and I'm kind of a newbie to this, being just put on council, so I'm kind of like the kicker going in at the kickoff here and trying to get caught up on speed. And they've been very gracious and brought me up to speed on this, and I agree with our last speaker. This is, may not be the perfect, but I think it's the best solution we've had in the last 20 or 30 years that I've seen, my time on planning commission and everything else. So I think we're headed down the right road, and I think it's something we should do.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other comments?
Yeah, let me make a comment. I am going to vote for it. I voted for everything for the Hitchcock Woods since I've been on council for 10 years. But I think people need to understand that this is the only money available to do with the woods. There's obviously a sense that we should spend it now, and that's fine. If you've read the report, the city is has only a minor responsibility for remediation of the stormwater going into the city. I don't know how many sections this plan was in, about 19, more than 19 actually, and in not one is the city have more than 50% responsibility. I would like to see the Hitchcock Woods Foundation go to the county and go to the state and ask them to provide their fair share. The concern I've always had is if we spend our money, everybody's going to say, well, it's the city's responsibility, and they're going to have to come up with the $20 million, which is not fair to the city. So I'll support this effort, and hopefully Mrs. Corey is right in the sense that we'll be able to get some grant money to further the development. But the county and the state need to pony up, and I think somehow the foundation should ask them as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman DeWall.
I have a statement, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to thank all of you for being here and for your interest in the erosion that's taking place. I know that it's been long-standing with your interest. And let me just add, Pat, I want to thank you for your effort and your partner next to you, who've been very great champions of this effort, and especially in bringing us up to speed in terms of what's going on, and McCormick for his efforts, too. I've been with this project for a long time, and it has never been the city council's intent to do nothing. We wrestled for some time as to what to do, and our local options, sales taxes on the ballot. Most of you out there, I would say, voted to allocate funds for that, and so the money we're spending right now is part of the local option sales tax, of which you voted for, and you said you wanted the monies to go towards this effort. So it's already there for you. The question is later, what do we do? And that is the big question that we're going to need all of your help, your advice, your support, depending on where these funds take us with the erosion issues that's taking place. So I want to thank you for your interest. We want to get this solved as much as you want to get it resolved, but it's going to take some a lot of discussion in terms of where the other revenue comes from if we can't get the grants that we're expecting. So thank you again.
Thank you, Councilwoman Price. All right, hearing no other comments, all those in favor?
I just need a clarification.
Sure.
On, and I'm totally for this particular initiative. thank you for presenting everything to us the way you did, because it really opened up the opportunity that this can, how and how it can impact not only the foundation, Hitchcock Woods, but the city of Aiken and our community as a whole. So I wanted to make that point. But also, I have a question for maybe for McCormick and Taylor, or, and it was on the numbers. Just real quick, just clarification for me. I'll make it real quick. I know that the $5.2 million that was set aside based on what was done in the past, I was given an $11.5 million total figure, and I'm not sure if that is based on phases three or four. Just need clarification on that. I know the 5.2 is for the first two phases. Can you add to that?
This is Jason, by the way. This is Jason Hedrick. Welcome, Jason, from McCormick Taylor.
Thanks.
I'm just trying to get my head around that particular revenue number. I'm not sure where it fits in.
Phases one and two is roughly about $5.2 million combined. The 11.2, that might be phases one through three, and then phase four is $10 million.
Okay.
Of our conservative construction estimate at this time.
So phase four, $10 million in addition.
The total price for all four phases was roughly $20 to $25 million, depending on the solutions that we move forward with. We presented several alternatives for several sites, so there's a varying price component.
And I'm just trying to figure out where this $11.5 million figure came from, but I think it's important for our community to know the total cost of this, obviously, with the contingencies, because you guys worked in contingencies, so I've got that not a problem, but the $11.5 million, I was just trying to figure out what part of the phases that falls into.
I'm not sure where that number came from. Phases one and two summed together about $5.5 million. Package three is $8 million, and package four is $7.3 million.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor? Then that's unanimous. Thank you. And I would like to say to Pat and Joanne Sampson is the other, which you kept us so informed. Thank you for your diligence, and to everyone on the Foundation's board for keeping us informed and working with us on that. Congratulations. Congratulations. And I suspect at this time there's going to be an exodus.
They get to watch the ball game.
Enjoy the game.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I got a feeling most of them don't care.
It's 6 points.
There is no more
for the first two. I don't know where they let them have.
Thank you.
All right.
to Texas A&M.
Let the cookie lady finish, man.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Remember when our next meeting is.
Now, here we are 8 days into a New Year's resolution, and we have cookies at the meeting. Come on. Don't make
Thank
it easy.
You.
Moving down old business, this is number three. Second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the 2017-18 budget to include revenue and expenditures of traffic safety officer grant. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second? We have a second. Comments from staff.
And Mr. Mayor, in September of 2017, the council accepted a grant award from the State Department of Public Safety, Office of Highway Safety and Justice for $242,910 with funding to begin on October 1st, 2017. The first year of funding is 100% for the salary, benefits, and related equipment for two officers. This is a renewable grant for up to 3 years, depending on available funding. The grant-funded traffic officer positions are required to work towards reducing traffic fatalities, traffic collisions, DUI, and the like. Since the first officer was assigned to the grant on November 6th, so we need to adjust our budget to reflect the receipt of and the expenditure of this grant funding, and that is what the request does that is before you. The chief is here to answer any questions that you might have about the program.
All right, thank you, Mr. Kluge. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council? All those in favor on second reading? Then that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to number four under old business, this is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to grant an easement to South Carolina Electric and Gas Company at Eustis Park. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Second.
Councilman Wilkes. Comments from staff.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, as you'll recall, SEE&G is requesting that the City of Aiken provide an easement across the property to provide electric service to the new community center at Eustis Park. Presently, the property at Eustis Park, where the new community center is to be built, has an overhead power line to the property, and SEE&G is proposing that the overhead power line be moved closer to the property line between the City of Aiken property and Helping Hands. SEE&G would run an underground feeder line to serve the new community center and the park in the area. Our engineering staff and our park and rec staff have reviewed this and are recommending approval.
That's very good. Tim, is everything okay over there? I heard you. Good? Okay, very good. Comments from the audience? Comments from council? All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to new business. Number one is an approval of a resolution adopting a 401A defined contribution plan for new city employees and the related trust agreement. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, as you know, for the last year or so, we have evaluated our existing pension program, looking towards possible long-term financial consequences and possible cost savings. We put a plan together which more and more communities in the public sector and certainly businesses in the private sector are headed towards a defined contribution plan. But at the same time, we've made a commitment to existing employees, a contract, a compact, when folks were hired. So we wanted to design a pension program reform that was that honored the commitment and the compact that we've made with our employees, but at the same time headed to in a different direction. The proposal that we have before you was designed by a team of experts. We've had workshops. We have Mr. Warren Anthony, our attorney, present with a finance director, Kim Abney, to answer any last-minute questions that you might have. But I just wanted to, first of all, on behalf of every single city employee, thank this council for the sensitivity in terms of the impact of existing employees, but also on behalf of our taxpayers to make long-term changes necessary. In a period of 40 or 50 years, you're talking about millions of dollars of tax dollar savings to our taxpayers. So this is a plan that honors our employee, our workforce, and this is a plan that honors our taxpayers with long-term savings. And so I applaud this council for the approach that you've taken and recognize Kim and Mr. Anthony to answer any questions that you may have.
Sure. Thank you for that. I don't know if you would you like to add anything to it at this time, or just in case there's a question you're here. Are there any comments from the audience? Okay. Are there any questions or comments from council? Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor at this time? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Thank you. And Mr. Anthony, thank you for being with us tonight also. We appreciate that. And Kim, your hard work and the staff and putting this together, we appreciate it.
And I should say, I there's one thing that I forgot to say that I need to say, and that is the reason that we found ourselves in a position to be able to honor existing employees is because of past decisions made by this council, former councils, and former staff people. We have almost a fully funded pension system. You can go to communities across the country where they're in a crisis at 6% and 8% funded or whatever. The truth is that we are not in a financial crisis on this issue. We're trying to plan for the future, but it has much to do with former leaders and council members and staff people that believed and understood the importance of fully funding their pension plan. So I needed to say that as well.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Krim. We appreciate that.
Mr. Mayor, I'm looking at Juana. Juana, we're sorry that you made the trip, and we have adopted without any questions from you.
Piece of paper that says something different.
we appreciate the contributions nonetheless, even though we don't have a plaque to present, Sam. So, thank you for that. Moving down to new business, number two, this is approval of a resolution amending the current pension plan, formerly the employee's retirement plan. Is there a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Comment from staff?
Mr. Mayor, with the approval of the defined contribution plan that we just approved for new city employees, the current defined benefit pension plan needs to be amended to allow for the implementation of the defined contribution plan. So one complements the other.
Very good. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council? All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to new business number three. This is a first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 1123 Williams Drive and zone it residential single family RS-15. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
I second.
Have a second. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, pursuant to our city's water and sewer annexation policy, the owner of 1123 Williams Drive is asking for requesting annexation and a zoning to single-family RS-15. The property is located in the Aiken Estates area. The Planning Commission, at their meeting on December 12th, considered this request for annexation and recommended that it be annexed and zoned. For City Council consideration is first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 1125 Williams Drive and zone it residential single family RS-15.
I just want to clarify, is it 1123 or 1125?
Let me just...
1123.
Okay. Just want to make sure we weren't conflicting on that. All right. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council?
No. Just real quick, the top of this memorandum says 1123 and the bottom says 1125, so just in case.
It's 3, that was a 2. Okay, it's 23, but we'll clarify that for second reading as well. So thank you. All those in favor?
That's unanimous.
Thank you. Moving down to number 4 in our new business. This is a first reading of an ordinance to rezone property at 254 Beaufort Street Northeast from industrial to general business.
So moved.
Motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Have a second. Comments from staff?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we have a request that the City Council consider rezoning property at 254 Beaufort Street Northeast from industrial to general business to allow for office use. Cumbie Center to assist abused persons would like to relocate their administrative offices. The current industrial zoning, however, does not allow for private sector offices as a primary use. The property is in the area where many of the properties are zoned industrial and light manufacturing. According to the zoning ordinance, a proposed rezoning may be initiated by the City Council, the Planning Commission, the City Manager, or by the owner of the property. This request could be considered a City Council-initiated rezoning. If the Council approves the proposed ordinance for rezoning to general business, the request would then go to the Planning Commission for their review and their recommendation. After the Planning Commission review and recommendation, the Council could consider second reading of the ordinance after public notice of the date to be considered by City Council for second reading. So for City Council consideration is first reading of an ordinance to rezone property at 254 Beaufort Street Northeast from industrial to general business.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Flynn. Any comments from the audience? Comments from Council? All those in favor? All right. That's unanimous. Thank you. Number 5 under new business, this is approval of a resolution to authorize the purchase of 2.23 acres on Wire Road adjacent to the future public safety building on Beaufort Street. By title, resolution authorizing the purchase of land totaling 2.23 acres and located on Wire Road. Is there a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I second.
We have seconds all over the house. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, as you know, the owner of the property abutting the former Food Lion that is to be the new headquarters for public safety contacted us to inquire as to whether we would be interested in acquiring the abutting 2.23 acres. We got into a negotiating process, and the agreed to amount was $5,900. We have had now two appraisals. Since our initial appraisal came in under the requested price, the council asked for confirmation through another independent appraisal, which we have completed, which justifies the selling price of $5,900.
Very good. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council?
Yeah, why are we taking the money out of the public safety building account? Don't we have an item in CPSC for land acquisition?
Yes, we could take it out of that.
I'd rather do that. I mean, I guess I don't know how many opportunities we're going to have to use that fund.
I think the chief would appreciate that. So, Gary, is that just a...
Gary, can we... Are you making that in the form of an amendment to the motion?
Yes.
And is that accepted?
Yes.
Well, I didn't make the motion. I'm just saying, yes, I agree with this.
I made the motion, yes.
The motion and the second.
I accept the amendment.
I accept the amendment.
And who seconded?
I did.
And you accept?
Okay. Okay. Very good. All right. All those in favor as amended? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Number six under new business, and I'm going to recognize Councilman Waltz.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a resolution to authorize the acceptance of a bridal path property from Betty Jane McDonald, Leanne Cavanaugh, and Sharon Lynn McDonald. This piece of property is at the end of Grace Circle, and anybody who's gone into the woods by going down there has walked on this piece of property. And I'll be the first to say I've walked on it numerous times and never thought about it. Ownership of it. So this is a good way to clean a little bit of this up, and great for this family who's been in Aiken for years to donate this. They have come together from Georgia, New Mexico, and South Carolina to sign off on this. So this is a great thing, and I recommend that we accept this.
Very good. We accept that motion.
You're welcome.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a second. Comments from staff?
I can't add anything further other than to join Council Member Wilson in thanking the present owners of the property for their public spiritedness and their willingness to donate this to the City of Aiken.
Thank Lee.
Thank you.
Any comments from the audience? Mm-hmm. Other comments from council?
Again, thank you very much to the McDonald family and Fred and Lee, and nice to see you here.
Very good. All those in favor? And of course, that's unanimous. Thank you. Thank
you. We don't want that to be the only reason you all come to visit us sometime.
The cookie lady came too, so maybe you brought her also. So.
Thought we could have those seats reserved for you.
Thank you. All right. Moving on down, new business number item, item 7. This is approval of resolution to enter into a memorandum of understanding with Aiken County and SC Aiken LLC regarding redevelopment of the Aiken Mall. By title, a resolution authorizing the City of Aiken to enter into a memorandum of understanding with Aiken County, South Carolina, and SE Aiken LLC in connection with the redevelopment of the Aiken Mall. Is there a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Very good. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, as part of the redevelopment of the Aiken Mall, the owner, the City of Aiken, and Aiken County have all developed a resolution for each party's consideration. Aiken County would create a multi-county business park and provide special source revenue credits to the developer, which would defray some costs related to the development. The city would purchase for $1 million a portion of this property to be used as a park. The city would be reimbursed their $1 million purchase price plus up to an amount of interest to $250,000. The source of funds would be a combination of economic reinvestment funds, $200,000, transportation and public safety funds, $400,000, and hospitality tax funds, $400,000. So for council consideration is a resolution authorizing the City of Aiken to enter into a memorandum of understanding with Aiken County, South Carolina, and the SE Aiken LLC in connection with the redevelopment of the Aiken Mall. Now, as you know, there's been many months of negotiations, and we have our attorney that has represented the city, Attorney Gary Polk, present this evening, that wanted to give a very brief summary and then answer any questions that you may have.
Okay. Good evening.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, as City Manager Clem mentioned just a moment ago, this has been the result of approximately a 1 to 2 year process at this point, and much negotiation with the county and with Southeast Aiken LLC. The documents before you tonight will allow for the city's consent to the creation of the park. They memorialize the intent of the city and the county for the special source revenue credits that will provide for enhanced infrastructure at the project to include a public park, and will also contemplate the $1 million purchase of the land ringing the park. As Mr. Clem also noted, the documents very happily provide for the reimbursement to the city of its expenditure of the $1 million for the park following the completion of the special source revenue credits. The first item before you is the resolution adopting the memorandum of understanding. The next item on the agenda is first reading of an ordinance, which is the definitive agreement that sets forth the binding obligations between the various parties. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have regarding these documents.
Who monitors all of the financial aspects of this? How much has been paid and how much so forth?
So in the multi-county park context, the county is the entity that establishes the park. Their partner county is Edgefield, but Aiken County will be the entity that will be supervising the collection of the FELO payments from SE Aiken LLC. And under these documents, they are required to provide a report to the city, and given that the special source revenue credits will be set at an amount that is necessary for the reimbursement of the improvements plus any borrowing cost of the developer, not of the city of the county, but of the developer in taking care of these improvements, the developer is required to provide a schedule of payments that they have negotiated with their lender to both the city and the county so that everyone will have a transparent view of how and when things are being paid.
How often are these reports required?
The report for the debt service will be required anytime that SE Aiken LLC entered into a new financing agreement, but the annual report, I believe it would be annually.
Okay, so we'll, okay.
The agreement provides that the payments will be annually, so there would be a notification requirement.
And did you discuss the reporting requirements to the county?
They have been discussed with the county, and the county is in agreement.
Well, okay. And I'm so happy once a year.
Okay. Thank you, Gary. Any other comments from the audience? We would like to just acknowledge that Vic Mills, president of Southeastern, is here with us today. Vic, thank you for being here tonight. Other comments from council?
I just would want to say this appears to be a very complicated process, but after having studied it and listened to a few briefings tonight, I just am convinced it's clearly, very clearly, in the best interest of the city to support this this item. There's no question the city's going to benefit significantly from the development of the mall, and I want to thank everybody that's involved. Gary, Mr. Mills, is he still here? Thank you, sir. But I think it's a good move.
Thank you, Councilman Duong. All those in favor? That's unanimous. Thank you. Number 8 under new business, this is the first reading of an ordinance to enter into an agreement with Aiken County and SE Aiken LLC regarding redevelopment of the Aiken Mall. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Second.
Motion and a second. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, as Attorney Pope mentioned, the first was a resolution, and this is actually the first reading of the actual ordinance to accomplish this. Split into two sections. One is a special source credit and incentive agreement, which will allow for the allocation of pilot generated from the improvements at the Aiken Mall, along with the purchase of a portion of the recreational property, and two, a purchase and sales agreement for the above mentioned recreational portion of the mall property for $1 million. So this is the actual ordinance to accomplish that.
Very good. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council? All those in favor? That's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to that portion of our agenda, petitions and requests. Number one, this is a resolution supporting and encouraging the Department of Energy National Nuclear Security Administration to locate the plutonium pit production mission at the Savannah River site. Is there a motion?
Did I forget?
Just go back.
I had my mind on a championship game. I'm sorry. This is the first reading of an ordinance to annex a portion of Columbia Highway North, U.S. Highway 1, and the City of Aiken Northside Park.
Is there a motion?
I so moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, you've asked that the City Council consider annexation of the portion of U.S. Highway 1 right-of-way from Aldrich Street Northeast to Crosland, at Crosland Park in a northerly direction to Duke Drive, and also the property owned by the city vacant containing 103.14 acres known as the Northside Park. The city would annex the Northside Park property in the right-of-way from Crosland Park to Duke Drive to allow the city of Aiken to be able to provide public safety services, including traffic safety and traffic accident response, in the right-of-way from Crosland Park to Duke Drive and in Northside Park. Since the Planning Commission must make a recommendation to Council for annexations and rezoning of properties, the request is for the City Council to consider the request for annexation and zoning on first reading and then to refer the request to the Planning Commission for their review. So for City Council consideration is first reading of an ordinance to annex the portion of Columbia Highway from Crosland Park to Duke Drive and annex the city property known as Northside Park containing about 103 acres and zone the park as residential single-family RS-15, and refer the annexation request to the Planning Commission for a recommendation.
Very good. Comments from the audience? Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm James Cook, a resident of the corridor along the north side across the road from the development of the Northside Park. For our neighbors and myself, we're fully supportive of the park and what it's doing for the needs for North of Aiken and also as well as the citizens of Aiken as a whole. It's long needed, it's desperately overdue, and I applaud you for that. I have one question regarding the right-of-way of US 1. Is there any intent to bring the businesses and residences along that corridor into the city, or is it strictly just the road and the right-of-way of the road?
I can address that, Mr. Cook. I'm the one who requested this, and frankly, this request is entirely on the public safety at the park, and that's why I brought it forward. It's because it's a city park. If there's an issue on that, public safety is going to have to be called out, the 911 services, and I think it needs to be in the city. It's not a power grab or take. I would hope that those businesses one day would maybe we could work out something where they might want to come into the city when we have utilities and those other things, but that's not the purpose of this.
Wait a minute. Let me answer your question a different way. If you're contiguous to that park and you sell, you're going to have to come into the city. So it depends on what the Planning Commission is going to recommend.
Right.
As far as I can see, our ordinance requiring property sold, if it's contiguous, has to come into the city.
If it has more,
if we don't have services, but we don't have services out there.
If your address is Columbia Highway, then you would sell the property, it would be city property. To be recognized as being in the city. Is that what I understand?
If you have city water.
Do you have city water?
I'm not on. I'm on Shaw's Crest Drive. I have city water, but I'm not on the road itself. I'm actually not on Columbia Highway. Shaw's Crest Drive, Rogers Road, all that address are. They're not. They actually don't butt up to the right of way for US 1. We're on County Road.
Mr. Cook, have public access. You don't have access to city water.
I've had city water forever, yeah.
Yeah, city water, and if he's not adjacent, though.
If you're not contiguous, you don't have a problem, but if you're contiguous to the park, then...
Contiguous meaning adjacent.
Right next to it, touching it.
Okay. All right, you've answered my question.
Well, Mr. Cook, I'd be happy to sit down with you with our staff and look at a map so to answer that question fully, I mean. But,
okay.
But no, the intention is certainly for the park. Thank you, sir. Any other comments from the audience? Okay. Comments from council?
Just a quick question. Northside Park, consisting of 103 acres, and we're requesting it be zoned as residential single family.
Right.
Can somebody clarify that?
I'm going to ask Ryan Bland, our planning director, to address that.
Brian, I'm sure it's something I don't know.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, City Council, governmental uses are allowed in virtually any zone district in which this counts. Citizens Park is zoned RS-15, as well as a number of other parks in town. It seems to be our policy that that is what has been the zone district used when zoning larger park facilities, just to be consistent with what we've done in the past.
So in other words, when a parcel becomes part of the city, it has to have some zoning designation?
Correct, yes.
And that's just what we've chosen as a city?
Traditionally, correct, yes.
I noticed that too. Thank you, Andrea. Good question. Thank you, Ryan.
To go back and address what Mr. Cook was talking about, they don't have sewer on the other side of the road, would be the difference. So we can't annex, we wouldn't right. be bringing that to them.
Well, I think it's a valid question, and I think as they come up, we definitely want to answer them.
Councilman Roy, you're right. Planning Commission should deal with
yes,
that.
Yes, so they will.
Discuss it.
And absolutely.
They do a
the infrastructure's not there, and right. it's needed, but it's not there.
So the
different story.
That is different story.
As Mr. Klum stated, so this process, this was sent to planning, which they have public hearing and another opportunity to review it before it comes back to us for second reading. So all those in favor on first reading? That's unanimous. Thank you. Now can I move to petitions and requests? Number one under petitions and requests, this is a resolution supporting and encouraging the Department of Energy National Nuclear Security Administration to locate the plutonium pit production mission at the Savannah River site. Is there a motion?
I'll move.
A motion, is there a second?
I second.
And a second. Comments from staff? I've got it, absolutely. There's been a group working, and this is an economic development initiative also, but also future site for our largest employer, obviously, is Savannah River site. We have some people here who can speak more on this, but under the leadership of Chairman Bunker at the county, we've been working and encouraged to show support locally for future missions at the site. This is a NSA mission. It's different than the EM. It would provide roughly 800 long-term jobs at the site, and it would initially be a multi-billion-dollar investment to the site in this mission. So we've been asked and will participate in showing support to our congressional delegation, who will then be moving to include this in the F-19 budget. And there's other people right now. Pit production is in New Mexico. They're working very hard to keep it there, although they haven't produced anything since 2011. And we think there's an opportunity at our site. We've been serving the needs for national security for over six decades out there. I think we're uniquely qualified for it. I know we have people here who can speak much more to this than I can, but I think this is a positive resolution. The county will actually have the same resolution on their agenda tomorrow night, and then we will put it in a package to submit to our congressional delegation just to show them the local support and belief in the workforce that we have at the site. So with that, I would certainly open it up to comments from our audience. Yes, sir. Admiral, good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Charles Munns, a citizen of Aiken, and I'm talking just as a citizen here tonight, City Council and Mr. Mayor. I would like to talk in favor of the resolution. I think it is a forward-thinking resolution, and it fits the needs of our area. So I'd like to make three points: jobs, the need for the pits, and third, why Savannah River site. Jobs. Many of you have advocated just in today's paper that your goal for this year is jobs. I can think of no better job than these types of jobs. They'll be highly technical, high paying, and clearly what we would want in this community. Second, the need. I'm an advisor to a Secretary of Defense advisory board. I can tell you there is a, without us growing our nuclear deterrent, there will still be a need for us to have to refurbish pits and manufacture pits. So this goes to the heart of the credibility of our nuclear deterrent. and it's key to national security for the next 50 years. And lastly, why Savannah Riverside? Well, it's, you know, we have the this is the kind of business it does. And we have the geology at the site that supports this kind of business. It's well understood. We have the geography. There's a large area down there. It's perfect to be able to do this business. We have government structures like yourselves that support this kind of work, and that's important. We have safety and security at the site, better than none. At least as I left the site, we were the best from a safety standpoint in the entire nation. And these kind of Department of Energy sites are 10 times better than their peers in industry. So we have the safety and security. And lastly, maybe most importantly, we have the people, the culture of the people to be able to do nuclear work. So for all those reasons, I support and would advocate that you pass this resolution.
Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate that. Any other comments from the audience?
Mr. Mayor, I think I'm going to put him on the spot here, Dr. Mikulski. We have three new council members, and you've been before council before. You're stated in this resolution, so just if you don't mind, come forward and just give a little sentence or two as to the role of the lab with this.
Terry, good evening.
And Terry, you can beat me up later.
For those who don't know, Terry is the director of the
National Lab at Savannah Riverside.
Mr. Mayor, Council.
Good evening.
Thank you for inviting me up here. I think I would, echo the comments that you've already heard on this. It's an extremely important mission for the security of our nation. Probably one of the most important, and you just have to read the headlines in the papers to understand how much how important it is. And but I would really focus here on the quality of the workforce that we have. I think that is the differentiator. And we must be successful at this mission. There is no question about that. And in order to do that, we need people who are highly trained and can operate these kinds of facilities in a safe and secure manner. And there's no question that this site, over the 60 plus years of its operation, have demonstrated that capability. So I think it is an important opportunity for this site, for our people, to continue to display and accomplish the kind of work that they have in the past, but going forward to help our nation be successful in addressing these challenges. From the point of view of the National Laboratory, these are highly technical requirements to be successful at this. And what we have been able to demonstrate on the site is the combination of the manufacturing workforce with the science and technology of the lab has provided an unprecedented capability that we now have the opportunity to apply to this very important mission going forward. So it's a combination of the science technology that we've demonstrated, but really the heart of it is that we have the nuclear trained workforce, and this is an important opportunity to really serve the nation in a continuing way.
So. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, I'll just say that I know we have Rick McLeod, who's with the Community Reuse Organization. Rick, thank you for being here. I'm certain in support of this, as well as Jim Meir, with Citizens for Nuclear Technology. Appreciate you being here also. Any other comments from the audience?
We don't want to forget Teresa.
And Teresa, appreciate all your help and support also. I'll open up to council. I know there may be some questions that some of the individuals would like to answer. So I'm going to open up for council for comments or questions at this time.
Yeah, and I'll make it brief. Thank you guys for coming. The resolution was put before us, and I am 150% in favor of the opportunity, the economic growth, the cultivation, and the addressing of our waste product out there, of course. I think the sky's the limit when it comes to that opportunity. What I would like to see in addition to this resolution is a little bit more detailed safety plan, just a document, could be an outline for the community. I think we spoke to the safety and the track record in the last 60 years, but it's additional nuclear waste coming into our community, and I know for a fact there's a lot of citizens out there that worry about that. So having an outline of a safety plan in addition to this, I think, would go a long way.
Very good. Would anyone care to address?
Well, I would suspect that there's a very strong safety program out there. I've been involved.
And I've actually been exposed to your safety program in contracts and stuff that I've reviewed. But this would, I guess, my point would be, you know, a 100-page contract to the community would be somewhat irrelevant to them. But a brief synopsis of a safety approach to this new waste coming into the city and how it would be handled, how it's being affected, so forth and so on, I think would go a long way.
Good afternoon, evening, this evening, Mr. Mayor, Council. One thing you got to realize, the resolution is just saying we'd like to be considered to host this facility. Right now, we're in the running with... It could stay at New Mexico, Idaho Falls is another location, and our location. So there's been no decision made that it would go anywhere yet. As Admiral Munns was saying, the nation needs at least 50 to 80 pits production right now to maintain the nuclear arsenal. That's what we're looking at is a national security need. Before or after the decision would be made, there would be plenty of multiple volumes of safety plans to make sure this effort would come. This is also a fairly new skill set that we don't have at Savannah Riverside in working metallurgy. This is a huge metallurgy project, actually. But we also have the actinide chemistry at the site, which matches up with that, and that's why we're being considered as a potential site. So there is no decision made. Your resolution is just saying we'd like to be considered. We've been a safe site for 60 years. We don't see that process changing. So it's really your resolution is just raising your hand up and saying we'd like to be considered. New Mexico, actually, their senators have come out against moving it and have been against actually the analysis being performed. So you're actually making a stand again just to be considered for the site. So the safety will come a lot later, even if we're selected. But right now, it's premature to even ask for a safety plan or even consideration.
Thank you, Rick.
Just a quick comment. I don't know when to kick off, but it's pretty quick, so I'll make this okay.
Good evening, Jim.
Good evening,
Mr. Mayor and Council. My name is Jim Mayer. I'm the Executive Director of Citizens for Nuclear Technology Awareness. Just as a quick comment and clarification on the waste issue, this will not be generating or bringing in waste to our state. So it will not be bringing in any new high-level waste. Any waste that is generating, we are taking a product and making a product to be used and transferred out into the field. Any waste that is generated will be very minor and actually will be handled as transuranic waste, which we have a clear disposition path for right now going to the waste isolation pilot plan in New Mexico. So from a waste perspective, and especially a high-level waste perspective, we need to delineate that that's not going to be an issue with this.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying
that. Thank you for that. Good clarification. All right. All those in favor of the resolution in front of council at this time? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to information, issues and updates.
I'd just like to simply say, Mr. Mayor, about how proud I am of the men and women that call themselves city workers. You know, there are folks in the city of Aiken that are in need. And we participated this year in the United Way campaign, and our employees contributed over $12,262.
I would just like to say January 20th, there's going to be a little basketball game in town. Battle of the Badges, the Aiken Sirens, with two members up here, including myself and Councilman Gerdo, are playing in. Ed's got 2 weeks to work on his jump shot. We're counting on you, Ed.
That's all. Just a shot, Ed.
This is an opportunity for our community to support the effort to build a wall, obviously, to recognize our fallen officers and show honor to them. Our new public safety building. It's a great event. We had one of the members from the Harlem Wizards in town today, Rocket, and he had some moves. I didn't show him everything I had, though, Ed, so we're going to be all
right. Great.
Hope everyone will try to come out and support that. It's going to be a great event for a good cause, and it should be very entertaining.
And so, where is this?
At USC Aiken.
In what time?
The game tip-off is 6:30.
Is it
gates
free?
Open at 4:30. It's not free. It's very affordable. I think our tickets are $12. Is that correct?
$12 per student, $18 for adults.
Yep. So that's $12 for students, $18 for adults. I'll say we went to East Aiken, Mead Hall, and I know there was one other squad, Horse Creek, that I didn't get to go to today, but the kids were just mesmerized by my moves. Now Rocket, he did.
Anyway,
I know if you had 8:30 on the over-under, you did. Congratulations, you won the pool. With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, please stand up.